Let's return to Live from the State Capitol with Fred Dicker here on Talk 1300.
This is what the New York Times wrote a few days ago. The state's legal pursuit of an upstate farmer, Salim B. Lewis, ended in a lopsided defeat on Thursday after the Adirondack Park Agency agreed to pay $72,000 in legal fees to Mr. Lewis. The settlement was the first time the agency, which was represented by the Attorney General's office, has ever paid legal fees to a target of one of its enforcement actions. We're going to head up to Essex, New York, where Sandy Lewis, a prominent farmer, a well-known figure now in the Adirondacks, is joining us by telephone. Good morning, Sandy. Congratulations on your victory.
Thank you.
This was your latest victory. We had talked with you in the past about how the Adirondack Park Agency sought to have you tear down buildings on your farm, a very impressive farm in the Adirondacks. You argued that farming, agricultural communities, or agricultural property was exempt from what the APA was trying to do. You won, it lost. It serves for many people up there as a very important symbolic victory against an agency which many people see as out of control. Talk to us, if you would, about the settlement and this unusual request that Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's office apparently made of you to expunge the record of your victory.
Yes, actually, they asked us to they wanted us to approach the judge, government and ourselves, to approach the judge and ask him to vacate three decisions that led to this payment. And they made that a condition to the payment. In other words, they wouldn't issue the check without rolling the judge first. And oddly enough, they had support from our own counsel in doing so.
And basically, they were trying to eliminate any precedent that presumably others could cite if similar actions were brought. Is that right?
Yes. They want to obliterate the court record.
And you said no?
I did. I said something unprintable, but it meant no.
What eventually happened? How were you able to succeed then in the end?
Credit Will Doolittle at the Post Star in Glens Falls. I left Albany and drove north with farm counsel, our general counsel at the farm. And we stopped in to see Mr. Doolittle, who listened very carefully, did a piece that Friday, and then his newspaper decided to run an editorial that Sunday. Both of these are posted at sblewis.com.
And you think it was the newspaper's editorial and the story that resulted in the Attorney General's office backing down? What happened then?
Well, it didn't take them long, and they did back down, and they said and promised, the woman's name is Julie M. Sheridan, she indicated that they would have a stipulation in our hands by that Friday, and it took another week. And they issued three or four of them in progression. I changed only one section, paragraph number four. And on the last, they added a page, a blank page, requiring Judge Meyer to sign it, a stipulation saying it is so ordered. Had he done that, which he refused to do, there is some thought that that would have smothered in some respects each of his three rulings because the stipulation would have assumed greater importance, but he declined. He was right.
Now, this is a very interesting and important story. I just read a section from a New York Times account of it. You mentioned that the Glens Falls Post Star, I guess, has done a very, very good job in covering this. But when we talked yesterday and talked about your coming on the show, you were expressing great concern that a radio station, WAMC, which reaches up into the Adirondacks and I think has a repeater up there, has not been covering this. What's your sense of the press coverage, and what's your concern about that?
Well, to my knowledge, I could be wrong. You'd have to ask Alan Shartok. They're just finishing a million-dollar fundraiser. It's taken them 2 weeks to get it done. These folks have ignored and liberally ignored this entire case for 4 years. I don't believe it's been covered and this is an NPR affiliate.
Sure.
And there's another NPR affiliate up north, which is given it quite a bit of attention. I don't happen to like the quality of it, but that's nothing here nor there.
That's North Country Public Radio, it's called, is that right?
Yeah, but most recently, interestingly enough, North Country Public Radio, which has had Brian Mann covering these things, and I think he does a terrible job, they recruited Chris Knight as a freelancer from the Adirondack Daily Enterprise, and he came on the last show, interviewed me, as you are now, wrote it up for them and wrote it up for his newspaper and did an absolutely stunning job.
Well, it's good to hear there's some reporting going on.
There's some very good reporting. Kim Smith Dedham of the Pittsburgh paper called the Press Republican has done an outstanding job. There's a weekly that's free. It goes to over 200,000 people. The publisher published his own editorial. I posted these on sblewis.com. You can get them there. There's a lot of print support. But basically, there's been no radio support, and I applaud you for your interest in us, frankly. We're forgotten up here, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Fred, I'm telling you, you might not realize it. Your voice carries a great deal of weight among people in the Albany area. And that weight I lift, stick it on my website, and I get comments about it all the time.
Well, let me read a quote from Sandy Lewis that appeared in the New York Times story, which I thought was right on the money, a trenchant quote about what's going on in the Adirondacks. Quote, "You have all the necessary ingredients for one class of people with money, power, and votes downstate to crush people who have no money, no power, and no votes upstate." And I've talked about the pauperization of the people in the Adirondacks, the incredibly tragic aging of the population, the outmigration of hundreds of thousands of people over the years, thousands recently of young people seeking opportunities in other places. But, Sandy, getting back to this news blackout, when we talked, you said that you felt that there was some tie-in between WAMC, Alan Shartok, and the backers of the APA, some of those incredibly wealthy environmental organizations, and perhaps that could explain why you weren't getting the coverage that you felt was appropriate for your case up there. Could you talk a little bit about that, about those connections?
Yes, please. The Shartok backers are the Adirondack Council backers. And just so we understand it, the Lewises have given as much as $50,000 to Shartok's station anonymously, but of course Alan knew about it when David Axelrod was stricken. David was a good friend of ours.
Former health commissioner. Yeah.
That's right, and a wonderful human being, and Janet, his wife, is on Alan's board. Alan asked us for $150,000 to buy the Plattsburgh station and named it WCEL after our firstborn grandchild, Chloe Elizabeth Lewis. I declined to do that. I found his approach offensive, and I terminated the relationship. Along the way, he threw a brunch, at his house for us in Western Massachusetts and asked Barbara and me to come along and do that. We would have gone had not a friend's child gone into crisis, very serious crisis. And the guy called me at 6 in the morning. He was our local district attorney in Lake Placid, and I went over there to look after things in that guy's house with that guy's son. I think children come before brunches in Western Massachusetts. Shartok never forgave me for this, so maybe it's personal. I don't know, but I do think there's a symbiotic relationship between the charities, these funders, and they are wealthy. We also supported the Adirondack Council. But the present leader of the Adirondack Council came to me at the beginning of this fight with the APA and said he could put the fix in with Judith Enck. All I had to do is go to Albany with him, and he indicated a nice, generous contribution to the Adirondack Council would work out just fine.
Wow.
I told him I'd rather destroy him. I think it's wrong. These are charities, and what they're doing with their charity money, and Reuters doing it on Silver Lake, is getting the APA to bludgeon his neighbors, in this case John B. May, written up by Will Doolittle,
right,
and Leroy Douglas, written up by Will Doolittle. And these poor guys got trounced by the APA, as motivated by the Adirondack Council. John Sheehan sits down there in Albany and makes all kinds of noises about how bad the Lewis family is, and me in particular, but John Sheehan won't return a call when I place it to him. And I'd be happy to discuss this issue in public. I've suggested to Alan Shartok, and I offered him a matching grant, and I mean a substantial matching grant, if he would take Danny Hakim, who wrote the piece you've quoted from the Times, and Will Doolittle, and the other great journalists, and yourself, and anybody else he wants, and put them around a round table with Casey Seiler and Rex West and other good people, and let's debate the issue.
Well, isn't Alan Shartok notorious for surrounding himself with sycophants and people he can easily control?
Well, I've listened to his station on and off over the years, and I find it repugnant, quite frankly. I mean, it's not that I'm in love with VPR, whatever it is, Vermont Public Radio. Our last gift to National Public Radio over there was $25,000, unsolicited, to Loretta Huttlinger. And she asked me why. I said, because I think you run a nice program. Oh, you have nothing to do with them.
Right.
I don't like solicitations, and in Alan's case, we supported Alan. I initiated with him at 5 in the morning one day when he was driving everybody crazy with his fundraising, trying to raise 10 grand. It was a $50,000 fundraiser in those days. And I said, my wife loves classical music. Could you consider just kind of giving us a little more music and a little less solicitation just for a couple of hours? That's where our friendship was formed. I liked Alan.
Right.
But I find his behavior repugnant. And what he's got there in that show is a brilliant machine. It's a marketing machine.
No question.
You know, juggernaut. The guy's got 20 stations. Unfortunately, it's become a cult around Alan. Yeah. that's what you have there. And Alan's 70. I'm 72. I know what it feels like to get old, and maybe Alan should rethink the proposition. I think this APA story with Lewis and Judge Meyer particularly, great courage there.
Sandy, we're just about out of time. I think it's a fascinating story. It could be a turning point in the Adirondacks. I'd like to keep in touch with you, but unfortunately, and we will, but unfortunately now we're out of time. I wish you luck up there. Congratulations on your legal victory, and we'll catch up again another time. This is Fred Dicker live at the State Capitol.